Would you please stand for the reading of the word? We want to dismiss our children to children's church at this time. I'm reading from Psalms 119. Verse number one, blessed or happy are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all of thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. O forsake me not utterly. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. You know, until you see the speed limit sign, you don't know what's expected of you. Until you hear the word of God preached, you don't know what is expected of you. And so that's why it's so important as we hear the word of God preached that we conform to the word of God that opens us up to the blessings of God. Ignorance is of no excuse. Some of you, not me, some of you might have gotten a speeding ticket because you didn't know what the speed limit was. But nevertheless, that was no excuse. You still got that, I wouldn't know. I'm so grateful for guidelines. I'm so grateful for parameters. If you do this, then I'll do this. That's what God is saying. And so I'm grateful for the word of God. One more scripture, Ezekiel chapter 11. And verse number 19. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Aren't you glad he's done that? Amen. See, when we're born of the flesh, I was there, I don't remember, but there's something instilled in us, and that is we become conscious of the world. But when we're born of the Spirit, we become God conscious. And the more God conscious we become, the easier it is to live for God. The more of God's will is instilled in us, and the Spirit of God is within us that says, get me to God, get me to God. Well, there's a ball game tonight. Can you make it? I've got 2 free tickets. No, get me to God. You see? Lord, we ask your blessing upon your word. Touch it, anoint it, allow it to have freedom in this place to produce what you would have it to produce, to touch each and every one of our minds and our hearts that we might conform to the things that would be pleasing to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Psalms 51, if you would turn there, please. This is the account of David's repentance. It is one of the best chapters in the entire Bible. I'm glad that God didn't just show us all of the victories of great men and women in the Bible, but he also displayed some of their faults. And here we have a man after God's own heart that greatly sinned against God, committed adultery and then murder. And I suspect that it was a few years before Nathan came to him and said, "Thou art the man." And all of a sudden, he realized, I need to do something about my condition in God. We're talking about somebody who heard from God, was anointed of God, and then fell away from God, and then suddenly something happened in his life to say, uh-oh, I better do something about it. So verse 1 of that 51st chapter says, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." How many understand that even though it's been years since you did some dastardly thing, you still remember it, and it comes back to your memory. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's not sin. It's just that we can't forget some of the evil things that we were involved in before we came to the church. Those who are raised in the church, hallelujah, we're so grateful for you. You have a greater testimony than we have. But we have to overcome those thoughts. "Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins. Blot out mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." You know what? I could do that once a week. Create a clean heart in me. Renew a right spirit in me. Maybe we have not because we ask not. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. Amen. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Sometimes in the beginning we have this great joy, but a few years down the road, we're just not as excited as we were before, and maybe we're not asking God, "Come on, God, let me experience the same joy I had when I walked away from the altar when I was filled with the Holy Ghost." Now, David knew God, and God promoted David because of his pure heart towards God, but in his weakness, he committed adultery and murder, and we all know the story of David's repentance and God's forgiveness, yet with consequences in David's life. You see, there are some who have this preconceived idea that if I do something wrong and then I immediately repent, well, all is well. Well, if we willfully sin after we come to the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice, according to Hebrews 10. And so there are always consequences. So we need to caution our lives that we don't fall into that willfully sinning category. You see, our initial experience with God is not enough. It's enough to bring us out of the world and into the church and to make us God conscious, but not enough to take us all the way. That is a continuing process in the Holy Ghost that if we let up on it, we can be converted again back to what we used to be. Our flesh, as David could attest, will always resist conforming to God. The good that we receive from God always fights the evil we receive from our natural birth. Take a look at Romans, the 7th chapter. Romans chapter 7, starting in verse number 20. Paul is saying, "Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more that I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me, for I delight in the law of God." Don't we?
Amen.
"After the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." I want to do what's right, but I have this gnawing within me that says, well, you know, maybe I want to pamper the flesh a little. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. So there's a warring that goes on within us, and if you've served God for 4 months or 40 years, you're still going to have that struggle within you. You teenagers, you're going to have that going on. There's always going to be temptations. You retirees, you're going to still have that struggle within you. It's not that you're sinful, it's just that you have a sinful nature, and we have to overcome that sinful nature, and nothing will help us more than getting into the presence of God in order to overcome that, you see. Proverbs 4 and 23 says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. In other words, keep your heart in tune with God. You can tell when your car needs a tune-up because it starts to miss. You can tell when you need a tune-up because you start to miss. Things don't seem to run as smooth as they used to when you need a tune-up from God, and all of a sudden there's little skirmishes that you have to deal with. And every service we come to, God does a little tune-up. God changes the filter and gives us fresh oil, rotates the tire, changes and charges the battery. Now, I know this sounds like a message for men, but maybe I'll use some lady metaphors later that you can relate to. Take a look at Psalms 7 and 8. Psalms chapter 7, verse number 8 says, the Lord shall judge the people. Judge me, O Lord, according to my righteousness and according to my integrity that is in me. So God judges us based on our righteousness and according to our integrity. And the word integrity in the Hebrew means to be complete, innocent, an emblem of truth, which was a part of the high priest's breastplate. It comes from the word integer, which means a set of positive whole numbers, such as 1, 2, 3, 4, not fractions like 1/8, 1/2, 3/4, but as a whole. In other words, the word integrity means that you are complete. You are completely innocent. You are completely sold out. You are completely whole. That's what integrity is. But when you're almost, you have a little bit of integrity and a little bit of righteousness, well, then God can't bless. He has to judge. When God deals with us, it must be on a whole, not on a partial. Or then we have no integrity. You see, you can't have integrity one day and not integrity the next day based on circumstances. I've been in business. I had 6 different businesses, and it's almost every day I was challenged with integrity. Are you going to do what's right? Or, you know, this would benefit me, situation ethics, you know, get too much change. Well, those people, they deserve to get cheated, you know. I mean, that's what the world says, but the church says, no, I have to keep my integrity because I want God's blessing in my life. And it might seem like a little thing. I'm not taking care of this area, but it is a big thing to God, you see. The reason some people have trouble serving God is because of partial submission, partial dedication, partial faithfulness. And as a result, God can't give them all of what he wants. He wants to give us life and life more abundantly, but based on his rules and not ours. And the world's rules are changing. Therefore, we find that the church rules start to change. Because as the world moves to the left, the church kind of keeps up and has a space. But we get to the place where we compromise some of the things that we would never compromise years ago. Hallelujah. We can't live good in one area of our life and then part way in another area and think it won't affect the other areas. What health is to the body and 20/20 is to the eye, so integrity is to a person's character. You can't have a broken finger and say, well, it doesn't bother the whole body. It does. Either you're whole or you're not whole. There's no two ways. David said in Psalms 81:1, teach me thy ways, O Lord, and I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. I will praise thee, O Lord, my God, with all my heart. And you know what the first commandment is, to love the Lord with all your mind, heart, soul, and strength, because he just doesn't want part-time Christians. You see, real integrity demands that the whole heart, not just a portion or when it is convenient. David knew that his heart cheats on him, and his nature cheats on him. You know, sometimes you just got to get a little rough with the flesh and say, no, you're going to do this because the word of God, you're not going to keep me from the blessings of God just because you don't want to do it. And we have this struggle with the flesh over and over again. Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? So he could be compartmentalized, if you will, to the point where, you know, we fit God in when we can. This part for church, this part for work, this part for me, when God is saying, no, no, I want the whole thing. I want the whole thing. The enemy wants your life to be fractioned and this church to be fractioned, but God wants us whole. And he wants us to have true integrity, not only when we're in church, but in the workplace and in the family. And he's watching you. You know, my grandmother, when I was just a boy, she loved God. She went to church all the time. And many times she had to watch us. And she would constantly say, now God's watching you. I used to hate that statement, you know. God's watching you. Well, he is. He sees everything, our going in and our going out. Amen. Well, what I do in my closet is none of your business, Pastor. Well, I'm sorry. Are you a member of this body of believers? Then you might be stopping the flow of something because of something that is in your life by what we allow in your life. You see, as a body, we need to be a whole, you see. It took 10 days for that upper room to have integrity. Because before the 10 days, there was fractions. Not everybody was totally commitment. But on that particular day, they came in one accord, in one mind, in one place. And then, you see, at times, circumstances conspire to divide our life and cause us to be partial in commitments and obedience. And Jesus said in John 14:30, hereafter, I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me. And I've said this before. You see, if you allow just a fraction of something to enter into your life, there's going to be fear in your life. There is. It just naturally comes. But when you have a total integrity, hey, come at me with any accusations you want. I know that there's nothing in me that you can attach yourself to. And that's what Jesus said. There's nothing that I have. You, and you know what? It doesn't matter then if you're accused of something. You know, and God knows. There were no secret compartments with Jesus, nothing for the enemy to attach him to or accuse him of. False accusations, yes, and we'll all get those. No area that weren't committed or not surrendered, and I guess that's what God is looking for, And I know that's hard sayings today by someone like me. But you know what? God is looking for a total surrender and a total commitment. And if we do this, my, we will be the church that there will be many who will point to great miracles and wonders. Every service, I'm telling you, every service, somebody comes up to me and said, let me tell you the vision that God has given me, miraculous visions in this place. Maybe you're just not aware of the supernatural that goes on in this place every time we get together. But God is doing miraculous things. And again, it's based on not the building, but the heart of people. Therefore, when that happens, when we're totally committed and surrendered, we have full access to all of the power of heaven. I can't emphasize that enough. Fully committed, full access to all of the power of heaven. And what frustrates Christians is when they're not totally committed and they don't get access to the power of God. You see? Hallelujah. I'd never start a business unless I'm totally, you know, living for God, because I'm going to live in frustration. On the job, I got to be totally committed to God. Otherwise, there's going to be all kinds of eruptions that are going to be happening within your life. The first time the word integrity is used in the Bible is in Genesis 20 and 5. It's a tragic story of Abraham who was fractioned because of a fear of circumstances in which he went into a different country, and the king wanted his wife, and he knew it. And what he was afraid of, he was afraid that the king would kill him and take his wife for himself. So he said, well, she's my sister, you know. Now, I'm telling you, if there was total integrity in Abraham at the time, there would be no fear to tell the truth. But when there's something out there that you haven't committed, is anybody listening tonight? If there's something out there, you know that God has been saying, you ought to do, there's an area of your life you ought to take care of. Well, then when these situations happen within your life, you get a little fearful. But if you're sold out, you have total commitment and integrity with God, not just a fraction, but a whole, well, okay, I don't care. There was something in Abraham's life that didn't allow him to fully trust God. But God came to King Abimelech's rescue because of his integrity and his innocent hands. And you thought that God only talked to save people. But God blesses the integrity of people who don't even have truth, because it's a principle and a character that God will bless. You know? How is it that people who don't have full truth get healed? How is it that people who don't have full truth, but they still go by the precepts of giving, they are blessed beyond measure? Because they have taken a portion of that principle and said, I'm going to hold it holy. And God says, okay, I'm going to do that. So that's exactly what happened to this king. He was living in integrity, and God saved him. God woke that pagan up and said, thou art a dead man because you have another man's wife. But Abimelech was able to play the integrity card, you know. Verse 6 of that chapter says, and God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me, therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now the church, this scripture excites me. There are going to be times when we are under pressure and we get into situations we may not feel that we have complete control over. But if we have integrity, we are a whole, not a fraction of what God wants us to be. God is always going to come to our rescue, and he's going to deliver us out of those situations. Hallelujah. Now, that as in this scripture, God is going to step in and respond to our integrity and is going to prevent us from making a mess out of a situation if we haven't had integrity, honesty, and do it uprightly.
Amen.
Hey, God can and will stop stuff from happening in our lives if we have integrity. I'm convinced of it. You know, Honest Abe, people in our history who perhaps didn't even have full truth, but they had integrity, and God protected, and God blessed, you know. Some years ago, we went to a general conference. It was on the East Coast, and we drove up to Jamestown. And I was so impressed with that. And, you know, it's the early history of our country. And we went to a little church which had a plaque, two plaques on the wall. It was the first building ever built in America, and it's still standing. And in the church, they had a plaque that said Acts 2 and 38. Now, think about it. This country is based on integrity of the scriptures. He can stop stuff from happening. God saved Sarah, stopped Abimelech, and overrode Abraham's bad decision. Psalms 25 and 21 says, "Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I will wait on thee." As long as David walked with integrity, God preserved him wherever he went. But when he violated just one aspect, then he suffered, you see. That's why I'm saying, and I hope you don't take this message wrong, I'm saying the safest place you can be with God is to be wholly committed to him, you see, because we can't fight these battles that come. In 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, it is the dedication of the temple. Solomon is kneeling on the altar praying and telling God. Here, let me read what he's saying, paraphrase. "Now, if we sin and don't follow after you and the enemy attacks us," you see the correlation? If we sin, you see, "and don't follow after you and the enemy attacks you," you see the correlation here. "God grant us a spirit of repentance, forgive us, and expel the enemy."
Amen.
Notice the enemy couldn't get to them if they kept their integrity. Solomon goes on to say, "And if we sin, and Lord, you shut up the heavens," you see the correlation, "and cause a famine and our livestock to die, then, O God, cause us to repent." Wise man. There's a correlation here. "And bring back the rain and give us the fruitfulness of our fields. Or if we go after other gods or make marriages with the heathens, grant us repentance and honesty of heart or integrity." So he knew way back then, if we're going to have some troubles, God, please allow us. See, some people get the idea, well, I'm going to take a little vacation of God, and I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that, and then I can always repent, and then God will restore me. But you know what? Repentance is something that God grants to us. It's not something we make a decision to. God has chosen you. You haven't chosen him. He saw something in your heart, maybe integrity, before you ever came into the church. And God said, "That's one I want in my garden."
Amen.
Amen. The power of integrity is so powerful that it prevented Abimelech from violating Sarah. It protected the boundaries of David's kingdom. It's so powerful that it perpetuated the future of Solomon's kingdom. And if we keep our integrity, God will keep our enemies back from penetrating our homes, our life, our business, our emotions, our mind, our battles. All because we decided to be wholly committed to God. Amen. What God is telling us is, you can't have integrity of heart towards God at the same time be divided in your allegiance and have hidden agendas. See? You see, God sees right through my roof, amen, right through the walls. Amen. Well, this is what I wear in public, and this is what I do in public, but when I'm in my house, I have the options. No, you don't. Because you're a child of, we're doing this for God. We're not doing it for people.
Amen.
The battle is to keep our integrity in every situation. Integrity is the key to being led by the Spirit. Turn to Exodus, the 28th chapter, please. Exodus chapter 28 and verse number 30, it says, "And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord, and Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually." Now, the high priest had all of the stones of all of the 12 tribes that were on his epaulets and at the shoulders, if you will, and then also in the breastplate, and they were to signify the chosen 12 tribes of Israel. God wanted them to also have something else, and we just read about it. And because God wanted them to have direction, he had them make a little pouch, and inside the little pouch was two stones. We read, a Urim and a Thummim. The high priest was to wear this pouch over his heart. So he'd put these two stones, one represented the light of God, and the other represented the integrity of God. And so whenever they were going to go into battle or had a difficult decision to make, if they were going to possess a land, what would happen is the high priest would put these two stones in a pouch, and he would wear them around his neck and over his heart. And then he would come up to the veil in the holiest of holies. And when he got to the veil, the Urim stone would start to glow. And it would glow so much that he didn't even have to take it out of the pouch. It would start to feel warm over his heart. And he'd know, that's where we should go. This is what we need to do. Somebody ran up to me tonight at about 10 after 5 and said, Pastor, I just want to let you know that Wednesday night as I was worshiping God, there was this incredible heat that came over my chest. And I knew now that God was going to take care of everything that I had been worrying about. I mean, God confirms to us, and he did that in an object lesson in the Old Testament through the priests. And are we the priests of God today?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Now, when Israel needed to know, God demonstrated I've mentioned this before. The high priest would go before the presence of the Lord in front of the veil, and he would ask God for an answer, and God would cause the stone to glow. If the answer was yes, it would start to glow, and he would feel the radiance of it. The Thummim stone next to it has its root word, meaning truth, completeness, honesty, and integrity. And when we read the word integrity in the Bible, the Hebrew word is Thummim. The two stones together gave Israel direction and victory. And you can't have one without the other. You can't have light without integrity in your life, or God's just not going to talk to you. He's not going to give us direction. We need direction from God. Not every church has the gifts of the Spirit in operation over and over and over again. You know, 2 weeks ago we had 3 messages in tongues and interpretation. Last week we had tongues and interpretation, and God wants to speak to us because he wants to give us direction. Now these two stones over the heart of the high priest was a shadow and type of each of us as a high priest. Today, it's the Holy Ghost that leads us into all truth, that prevents us from going in the wrong direction if we respond to its burning within us. Glory to God. You know, if you really have the Holy Ghost active within us, God's always giving us direction. It's a GPS system of the Holy Ghost saying, don't go there, go over here, pray for that individual. Romans 8 and 16 says, the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. The Spirit of God in us will give us light if we are undivided and if we're complete, not fragmented or fractioned in our allegiance and have hidden agendas. Well, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time and maybe all of the people some of the time, but I know one you're never going to fool. Amen. God knows. Amen. Many feel that when the urine stone glowed, that, well, it was so warm that there was no need for him to take it out of the pouch. In Luke 24 and 32 is where Cleopas and his companion met Jesus on the road right after the resurrection, and Jesus gave them a Bible study on how the prophets of the Old Testament all pointed to the day that they were standing there, all pointed to Jesus. And in Luke 24 and 32, it says, and they said one to another, did not our hearts burn within us while we talked with him, by the way? A shadow and type that's happening in the church of the living God today. I want God to be able to guide me and show me and tell me, don't go there, go here. I've made enough bad decisions in my life. I don't want to make any more bad decisions. I want to have a complete integrity in God so he can always direct me in the right direction. Amen. This Urim stone only glowed in response to truth, honesty, and integrity, or next to that which was integrity. Amen. The church, when we receive the Holy Ghost, we all get the same experience. We shut everything out and focus on our God. And it's so easy. It seems like we have blinders, you know. Have you noticed the first week people get the Holy Ghost, there is not one problem in the church at all? The pastor is the greatest guy in the entire world, barring none. But down the road, whoa, I didn't see that before. Do you know why? Because you're no longer focused on God like you used to be focused on God. Who cares about what's going on in the lives of other people? I want everybody to have integrity and to be saved. But you know, I have to keep my eyes on God. And all of a sudden, we become, well, the Thummim and the Urim stones. And as it says in Acts 2 and 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave the utterance. There's something warm that came down from heaven. It took 10 days for their integrity to bring them to one mind and one accord. 10 days. And sometimes it takes an entire song service for us to get to the place where we're in one place and one mind. And then God is so pleased. How many times has he said, I'm so pleased with your worship. I'm so pleased with your offering to me. But as soon as the Thummim stone was in place, well, they were all together and God blessed. Then God allowed the Urim stone to glow. If we want to continue to have this experience, then we must at all costs keep the integrity of God in our lives. The problem is this whole world has a right to options in their life. We call ourselves a democracy, but we are not a democracy in the United States. Our forefathers didn't create a democracy. They created a republic that was governed by the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. And what's happening now is we have judges that are sitting on benches who are overruling the Constitution, the republic for which we stand. And we're saying these rules are no longer valid in our country. And when Christians get to the place where we're no longer a republic, we're no longer underneath the Constitution of God, and we decide that we have become a democracy. How many want to do this? How many want to do that? Well, I don't think this is important anymore. And the majority of say it's not important anymore. So we just do that and we lose our integrity. Then we lose the power from heaven. Then we lose the blessing that God wants to bestow upon us because we've gone our own way. And we have rights. And God has acknowledged that you can do whatever you want. He created us with a free will, and it's probably the worst thing that could happen to us because nothing can separate us from the love of God. Nothing except us. We can walk away from God anytime. But you know, when you're walking into church and all of a sudden you're feeling the presence of God, when you walk up to this altar, when all of a sudden there's a special and I have to get out of my seat and walk up to the altar, you know what? There's no problem in keeping your integrity. Amen. You see? Get as close to God as you possibly can, and it's so easy to live for God, but if you're at the fringes of this thing, it's going to be dragging this flesh to church whenever your flesh will allow it to happen. Oh, church, help us. Help us to keep the integrity and to conform to the precepts of God, to be judged and conform to the Constitution of the Lord Jesus Christ, because in it there are blessings and blessings and blessings and protections and all kinds of benefits to those who will say, I'm going to do it God's way. I know not everybody will understand it, but my God will. Amen. From time to time, folks, we're going to be face-to-face with a difficult situation or attack from somebody else. But you know what? As Jesus said, look, there's nothing you can attach to me. Now, I've said this so often. If we keep our integrity, and you know, from time to time we make mistakes, there's no question. And then we say, God, forgive me, and he is willing to cleanse us and to restore us. But if we are deliberately trying to keep the integrity of God in our life, you know what? I don't care about the attacks. It's what you said. It's not true. And you're going to find the joy of the Lord is going to be your strength. You're going to feel, you're going to experience more of the blessings of God than you ever have. And I'm not saying that people aren't walking in integrity. This is, in my estimation, the greatest church on the face of the earth. But I want to make sure that we continue to be that church that God wants to bless. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Would you stand with me, please?